Welcome to the Success Starts Within podcast, a podcast dedicated to teaching you all the tools and techniques you need to master the mental game and take your performances to the next level. Here's your host, Eli Straw.
I'm going to cover what social anxiety is, how social anxiety negatively affects you as an athlete, and then three tips that you can use to manage your social anxiety within sports. With social anxiety, everyday social interactions cause a lot of anxiety, fear, embarrassment, self-consciousness. And unfortunately, sports are a social interaction. Even if you play an individual sport, whenever you compete, this is still a social interaction because you are competing in front of other people. And now, when we look at social anxiety and how this affects athletes, one of those words that I just described stands out above the rest, and that is self-consciousness. When you are an athlete with social anxiety, you have a heightened sense of self-consciousness. This means that you're almost watching and careful of how you act, how you're, you know, moving, and specifically how you are performing. And that brings us to the first way that this social anxiety will hold you back, and that is simply because of the word fear. Right? If you're so self-conscious of, you know, what's everybody else thinking of me, and you're worried about this embarrassment, naturally you will play with fear. Now, social anxiety really hits home for me because I admittedly have struggled with social anxiety throughout my whole life. Social interactions, whether it's hanging out with friends or whether it's, you know, getting up in front of the class and giving a talk, I've been terrified of what other people will think of me, and I've experienced a lot of social anxiety. And I felt this very heavily within baseball because I experienced a lot of self-consciousness. Well, where with practices, I was very worried about what other people were thinking of me, what my coaches thought of me. I worried a lot about what my teammates thought of me. And I can remember so many games where, you know, instead of being focused on the next pitch and instead of being really focused in the on-deck circle on getting myself ready for the next pitch, I thought a lot about how I was looking to the people who were watching, whether I looked like I was, you know, in the zone and getting ready. I worried a lot about how my stats would look after the game if I made a mistake. And all of this really stemmed from, you know, number one, a lot of just insecurities that I was experiencing, which are also at the core of social anxiety, but also because my attention was everywhere but what I needed my attention to be on at that moment. And that's what happens whenever you play with fear, because we're so worried about, you know, not wanting this to happen or not wanting that to happen and being afraid of what other people will think of us due to this fear and due to this worry about what other people will say and what other people's opinions of us will be. But as athletes, it's so hard to experience that because you are getting judged as an athlete. That's the nature of sports. But you can't let your attention be consumed with that judgment. Otherwise, you never free yourself up to just simply perform and really show off who you actually are. Now, I can remember so many baseball games where I wish that I had played a different way. I wish I just focused on the game and not cared what other people thought of me because my performance suffered due to my intense worries about other people. And these intense worries stemmed from that social anxiety. So if you find yourself right now playing with a lot of fear, it's easy for this to happen if you are dealing with social anxiety because we know that your attention is on other people. Now, this fear will be about, you know, making mistakes, and this fear will also be about, you know, maybe not looking like you're trying your hardest, but all of this fear comes from that core idea of being so self-conscious, so you're really hyper-aware of every action that you take when you're out there playing, you're hyper-aware of your movements, and you're very hyper-aware of your mistakes because you don't want other people to think poorly of you and to embarrass yourself. Because really, any social anxiety, whether it's talking to people at a party or whether it's playing a game, the social anxiety is there because you're worried about other people thinking less of you. You're worried about embarrassing yourself in front of other people, which means you're afraid of making mistakes because making mistakes, performing poorly, that right there is the easiest way for people to think less of us, or so our minds kind of tell us that. Now, the other way that this social anxiety will hold you back as an athlete is more on an interpersonal level with your teammates. So if you are dealing with a lot of social anxiety, it's natural for you to feel uncomfortable and have a difficult time connecting with other people when you're in these moments when you're experiencing the anxiety. You know, you might, and I would guess that you have a lot of very strong relationships, especially with a handful of people. But when it comes to your team, and especially if the team is in a group, well, that is a social situation, a social interaction where it's tough to put yourself out there if you do deal with a lot of this social anxiety. So you may have a tough time connecting with your teammates, which may make you feel like you're on the outside looking in. And everything I'm saying in this video honestly comes from personal experience. And most of the coaching that I do, most of these videos I make, they do come from personal experience, but they also come from a lot of, you know, just a lot of things that I've learned through working with the athletes that I do work with in one-on-one mental performance coaching. But this video in particular, this social anxiety, all of these examples and all of these kind of traits and characteristics, they come from my own experiences. Because I can remember so many times feeling like I was on the outside looking in just because I felt so anxious and so nervous to go in there and interact with my teammates, talk to my teammates. And, you know, if you're playing sports and you're with a team, and this also applies if you're in individual sports and you have other people that you train with, when you can feel connected to your teammates, that does wonders for helping you feel more relaxed and calm in the moment. And funny enough, I actually use the quote-unquote tool of talking to your teammates as part of a lot of pregame routines I use with athletes to help them feel calm and help them feel relaxed when the game starts. But if you're dealing with social anxiety, we know that it's tough to even have that kind of communication. And just one other little thing on, you know, having this tough time connecting with your teammates and communicating with your teammates before I move on to the tips that you can apply is, sometimes, and this is a harsh truth of it, but sometimes if you are dealing with social anxiety, and so you have a tough time communicating with your teammates or putting yourself out there, so you are a little quieter, a lot of times this can be perceived by your teammates as arrogance or as cockiness, especially if you are a good player. So that can sometimes further separate yourself from being close to your teammates. Now, with all that being said, we know that social anxiety is detrimental to your performance as an athlete. Now, this doesn't mean that you can't be an athlete with social anxiety and still perform well. You absolutely can, but you just have to start taking steps to mitigate some of these negatives and some of these challenges that present themselves because of the social anxiety that you are experiencing. So what I want to share with you are three tips that you can use, three tips that I personally used when I played, and also three tips that I apply to athletes I work with when I notice that they are also dealing with social anxiety. So you can start applying these to your game and notice some positive improvements. Now, tip number one is that you need to be in the moment. You want to make sure that as the game is beginning, you are completely and utterly focused on the present moment. Now, it's not always easy to be focused on the present moment whenever you're playing, especially with this social anxiety, because there's so many different things, like I mentioned earlier, that can be eating and pulling at your attention. All right, so just a very simple example is if you're a basketball player and you're setting up for a free throw, in that moment, you need to be absolutely and completely focused on your routine and the basket. You do not want to be giving attention to the people that are watching. You do not want to be giving attention to the other players who are lined up. You and the basket is all you need to be focused on. But if you're dealing with this social anxiety, all of these things outside of yourself, there's all this noise, it's pulling at your attention and it's trying to get you away from being completely focused on the basket, on the rim, on your routine, what you need to be focused on in the moment. When we know that, we know that the solution is to work to get you more focused in the moment. Number one, because when you're focused in the moment, you're not thinking about all of these fears and these worries and the things that you could be embarrassed by. Instead, you're only focused on what you need to actually do. We're focusing on action instead of the future worries. Now, in order to get yourself to be more focused in the present moment, there are two tools that you can use. The first tool is to focus on your breath. Breathing is such a simple tool, right? But it's often overlooked, especially whenever we're feeling anxious. Whenever you're feeling anxious and, you know, and you're playing especially, do you notice how you feel really shallow with your breathing, right? Kind of breathing into your chest up here. Well, number one, that kind of leads to a little lightheadedness, leads to rapid breathing because we have that shallow breathing, but it also makes your anxiety worse because you're not feeding your body the breathing and the breath that it needs to have in order to calm yourself down in that moment. Instead, you want to make sure you're taking nice, deep breaths, really giving your body the air that it needs to help calm down. But also, when you take deep breaths and you focus on those breaths, your attention's in the present moment. You know, it's no secret and no coincidence that pretty much every meditation that you look at has you focusing on your breath, because meditation at its core is about getting you to focus more in the present moment and to be more present, and your breath is always taking place in the present moment. So if you can focus on your breath, you're focused in the present moment. And if you're focused on your breath in the present moment, you're not focused on all these different things that drive this fear, that drive this worry, that drive that embarrassment that causes you to play timidly. And also, when you do focus on taking deep breaths, it has the added benefit of reducing the physical symptoms of the anxiety that you are experiencing. So a very simple breathing technique you can use is count breathing, where you breathe in for a count of five. So it would go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then you do the same thing, breathing out on your exhale. Nice and slow, nice and controlled, and make it nice and rhythmic. Just in and out, in and out. Do this over and over again, counting in your head. Now, the other tool that you can use to help yourself be more present is you want to set what are known as objectives when you play. For objectives, think of these like goals or like targets, but they need to be 100% within your control. So let's go back to the example that I gave earlier about the basketball player who was shooting free throws. Now, that basketball player who was shooting free throws, you know, if he was allowing himself to think about all these different distractions, his percentage chance of making that free throw drastically goes down. But what will bring that chance back up is if he, number one, focuses on his breath, but then he keeps his focus super simple with an objective. So his objective might be to focus on his follow through. If he focuses on his follow through, it keeps his attention on the process of his shot. He really is focusing on a piece of his mechanics and his technique that he knows gives him a really great chance of making that free throw. And most importantly, it is simple. Because if we look at social anxiety and we look at the worries that it causes, a lot of those worries are complicated, right? Well, what will happen? What's this person going to think of me? What will my stats look like? Well, if I miss this shot or if I get out here, I'll be benched. My coach will yell at me. My teammates will think less of me. They'll be mad at me. It'll be so embarrassing. That's a lot of different stuff, and that's a lot of complicated things. People's emotions, future stats, future playing time. It's a lot of complicated and worrisome stuff that's filling your mind. So we have to work on counteracting that with simple, simple attention. So set yourself some performance objectives. Make sure that they are 100% in your control. They're part of the process, and that can help you keep your attention more on the present moment. So once again, just to quickly recap, to focus on the present moment, use your breathing, focus on your breathing, do that five in, five out breathing, and then set yourself a very simple and controllable objective. Now, the second tip that you can use is you want to make sure that you are getting confidence from yourself. You don't want to be looking for confidence from other people. You don't want to say, oh, if only my coach really believed in me and gave me that positive feedback, then I would feel confident in myself. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful when coach tells you that you're good, right? It's wonderful when your teammates tell you that you're good. But something that I always tell the athletes I work with is that these things are wonderful and they make us feel good and they increase our confidence, but you better not need it. It's good to have it. It's good to use it. If you do have it, it's great. It's great. But don't need it. Because as soon as you need it, you become vulnerable. Vulnerable to coach getting mad at you. Vulnerable to your teammates, you know, not giving you that positive encouragement today. Vulnerable to your stats going up and down. Right? So if we think about you getting your confidence from other people, this is what your confidence will look like. It's going to go up and down, right? Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Because right here, if you get a positive comment from coach, great, all good. Here, you get out or you make a mistake, have a couple bad games, confidence goes back down. And so we see this pattern happen, and I call it a little bit like a roller coaster, right? Your roller coaster with your emotions. Oh, I'm feeling great today. Oh, I'm not feeling good today. Oh, I'm feeling great today. I'm not feeling good. And if we pair that with you already dealing with social anxiety, and we know that social anxiety fuels these feelings of fear and embarrassment and self-consciousness, well, when you're on one of those downward slopes, all of those negative emotions will be heightened. So your social anxiety will be worse. But when you feel good, coach is giving you that encouragement, those will be the days where you experience great games. You don't feel as anxious and you say, oh man, I just wish I could repeat those days. Well, the difference was you felt good about yourself. You felt confident. So the way that we can repeat those days is by giving you more confidence and more control, I mean, over your confidence. Because if you have control over your confidence, you don't rely on all these external factors. Now, how does that happen? To be honest with you, and unfortunately, I wish I could give you a better answer, but it is a long journey and it takes a lot of work because it takes a lot of diligence, a lot of effort to make sure that you're giving yourself that confidence. But for the sake of the video today and for the sake of just this kind of idea of working on overcoming social anxiety, there's two different ways that you can do this, or two different tools that you can start using. The first tool is to make sure that you're paying attention to your thoughts. So we can use some self-talk to make sure that before games and during games, you are giving yourself the encouragement that you often look for from other people. And then tool number two is that you want to evaluate your game for yourself. I was talking to a baseball player yesterday, and I asked him, what does it mean for you to have a good at-bat? Don't think about, you know, a good at-bat for me is if I get a hit, or a good at-bat for me is only if I get on base. I said, think about controllable things that mean you have a good at-bat. And his answer was, for me to have a good at-bat, I need to battle, right? So not give up. I need to swing at good pitches, and I need to be aggressive. I said, okay, that's wonderful. It's a great, great definition of what it means for you to have a good at-bat. That's what you have to judge yourself on from now on. So for this week, I challenged him, do not hyper-focus on the end result. Do not focus on, did I get on base? Only ask yourself, did I have a good at-bat? Based on your definition of a good at-bat. So for yourself, no matter what sport you play, set a definition of what it means for you to have a good at-bat, right? A good game, a good performance. And then be disciplined to only judge yourself based on, did I have a good at-bat? Or did I have a good game? And if you want, and I do really encourage this, I would say write some things down. So after every practice or every game, write down, what did I do well today? What were some positives from my performance today? And then you can start thinking, you know, what do I want to learn from today? So you can start reframing those mistakes. But to overcome this social anxiety or to manage this social anxiety, you must reclaim control over your confidence. And then the third tip is to focus on joy. You have to focus on having fun. I know that's a frustrating thing for me to say. I get it, because a lot of people did tell me when I was playing and dealing with social anxiety with baseball, I'll just have fun, just focus on having fun. So I get it. It's a very annoying thing to hear. However, it's incredibly true. You have to focus on having fun. And the way that I'm approaching this is thinking, if you're focused on other people, if you're focused on not wanting to make mistakes, if you're focused on how embarrassed you will feel if you have a bad game, and then you have to think, what will my friends think of me when I'm walking the halls at school or I'm going to class because they saw me play poorly, or because they'll hear that I played poorly. When all of that's on your mind, you are not having fun. And if you are having fun, we know that's not on your mind. So if you can start working on having some more fun, enjoying the act of playing, this, once again, just like the first tip of being more in the moment, it takes your attention off of those worries, off of the outcome, and it gets you more focused just on the act of playing. You have to be able to enjoy practices. You have to be able to enjoy games. You have to be able to enjoy the process of your sport absent of outcomes. Just let the outcomes happen, right? Just let them be. They are a byproduct. They just happen. They're called results for a reason. Be focused on what you enjoy. Now, I always like to make these tools and these tips actionable. So what I would recommend you do is make yourself a list of what you truly enjoy about your sport, absent of outcomes. Don't say that I only enjoy when we win. Otherwise, like I so nicely illustrated earlier on that bad drawing, you're going to be off for a roller coaster ride. Up and down, up and down, up and down. I'm feeling great today. I enjoy my sport. Oh, my sport sucks. I hate it. It's terrible because you lost or because you won, right? So make yourself a list of what you enjoy about your sport. Then what you can do is reread that every single day. Look over it, right? Look over it before you go to practice and look over it before you go to games. So those are three tips that you can begin applying to help yourself manage your social anxiety within sports. Now, one last thing I want to mention is that managing social anxiety and just any form of anxiety, it's a process. It takes time, but it also takes work. None of these tips are a quick fix, but they have been proven, both in my own life and the athletes and the lives of athletes that I work with, to be effective if you use them consistently, if you focus on the principles of being more in the present moment, focusing on getting confidence for myself, right? And then also focusing on enjoying my game, enjoying the process instead of solely relying on the outcome to give me happiness and satisfaction with playing.
If you want to hear more mental game tips, subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe to the Success Starts Within YouTube channel. Follow Eli on Instagram. The handle is @EliStraw. And subscribe to our weekly newsletter at successstartswithin.com.